When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome to another episode of Strictly Business, the podcast where we speak with some of the brightest minds working in the media business today. I'm Andrew Wallenstein with Variety. Peaky Blinders just kicked off its final season on Netflix in the US. But fear not, fans, this show's gonna live on via brand extensions far beyond the usual merch. We're talking stage production, virtual reality, even a ballet. That's just the beginning of the unusual business model employed by my guest today, producer Karen Mandebach. More with her in just a moment.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
My guest today is Karen Mandebach, one of the executive producers of Peaky Blinders and so much more. Her name is well known to any student of TV history, with credits including TV mega hits like The Cosby Show, Roseanne, That 70s Show, just to name a few of what she's produced with former partners Marcy Carsey and Tom Werner. Thanks for joining us, Karen.
Hey, thanks, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Great. So I want to start with the basics, because you are unique in the TV landscape as a true independent, but I want to make sure people understand what exactly that means. So walk us through your arrangement.
All right. Well, I started in the business with Marcy, actually, who hired me, having left ABC. A long time ago. And she was going to be an independent. I was the first person she hired because I was already a producer, which was weird, of course, because I was a woman and young at that time. She then wanted Tom to join her. So I was actually hired before Tom, but that was the indie of all indies. You know, we ended up being so fortunate that it was the right time, but also we were good. And Marcy used to say that Eisner, who was earlier than her boss, just wanted one hit a year. Just give me one hit a year. And if it's not there, find it. What is it? It's missing. It should be there. So that was the training, is to be independent. And then we saw the writing on the wall in after the FinCEN ruling, for all the kids out there who don't know what that is, a long, long time ago. The networks, having no experience in producing things themselves, decided what a good idea, we'll take a chance at it. This was around the time that we were doing Third Rock from the Sun. And I actually have a t-shirt that says, I survived 14 time slot moves, Third Rock from the Sun, because they used us to build up their nascent offerings, 14 of which didn't work. So we were used to being kind of an independent, and then used for the networks themselves to buttress their own efforts. Having had that, Marcy went her way, Tom went his. I left and I did Nurse Jackie as an independent. I had a deal with Lionsgate, which 6 weeks later, God, Nurse Jackie just popped right out. It was great, Bob. Yeah. It was wonderful. And then I took that sort of idea, the business model. It was my IP, actually. The real Nurse Jackie was my goddaughter. Who cares? But true story. And So I sold the IP to them. They were great. Lionsgate was great. And then I thought, what a good idea. I'll just move to England because they'll let me. I've gone to school here. I have friends here. And they'll let me, you know, they'll let me be an independent. Because we were sort of, oh, you know, they'd say they wanted Sony or somebody to be one of their, you know, arms dealers as it is. No, they really didn't. It was like, my show, your show, my show, your show. Well, your show's better, but it is my show.
Right.
So there were no indies within a minute. We were run out of town. So here in England, they were extremely open to it. It was the business model. It still is. And it's a very healthy ecosystem. So how that works is you invest your own money.
Right.
You go to the bank. Much as I remember, Marcy had to mortgage her house to set up the Cosby Show in New York. So I did the same. I didn't mortgage my house, but I moved and then got lucky. That's the second thing. You got to get lucky. Invest your own money, then get lucky.
And I guess you got lucky stumbling upon Peaky Blinders. Talk about how that came to light. How did you get that show going?
Well, it wasn't anything, you know, complicated. Steve Knight, I guess, looked at our background, having once been a comedy producer himself, and decided that myself and the guy who actually does the work, Jamie Glazebrook, were perfectly good for this project. He pitched actually two projects. We went to Ann Mensah, who is a buyer now at Netflix. She was at the BBC at the time. She said to Steve, which one do you want to do first? He said, I want to do Peaky Blinders first. She said, great. She commissioned it. And then she left to go to Sky the next day.
Oh, man.
So there you have it. And then 6 months later, you know, we got a green light.
Now, what was it about a show about turn of the century gangsters that was to you something to bet on? What was it about this intellectual property that you had such faith in?
I believe that the outsider is the person that we should talk about most, the person who wants something that and is not currently represented. That's whether that's a middle class black man or an overweight white working class lady. Neither of those people or those images had ever appeared on television, or in a funny way, that 70 shows representative of it, you know, who's, I remember the distribution guy saying to me, well, Fox just got baseball. You better do 18 to 49 year old men. And I said, well, there's no such thing as 18 to 49 year old men. You know, there's only like 18 year old men and 49 year old men. So I did the math and that's how the 70 shows, but they weren't represented at the time, that kind of kids today. So whatever generally isn't on, and if they're outsiders, no one cares about them. It's the people who aren't there, and certainly the men who'd been so traumatized by the war, and that how that continues through time. You know, my dad fought in World War II, and he still hung his thing up, but he wouldn't talk about it.
Right.
So it's every outsider recognizes every other outsider. So that's the trick to Peaky. And also, too, Steve's having written the most extraordinary Dirty Pretty Things and Eastern Promises, you know, you'd have to be an idiot not to note how pretty it is.
Yes, that was David Cronenberg who did that movie. So talking about outsiders, you were a real outsider in the UK, despite all your success in the US.
100%.
How on earth were you able to get traction in the UK business being a relative unknown?
Yeah, again, the intellectual environment and the ecosystem was open to people like me. I was a Brit to the extent I needed to be. And later I actually did, you know, pass the citizenship test and stuff. But in a way, I'd hung out in Britain for so long. I'd always bought the rights well before everyone to various television shows that were British because I went to school here. And I felt, especially in comedy, I felt comfortable with the language of it. I don't know. I was just lucky again. And I think they did respect the job of producer wherever you came from.
Got it. So getting back to being an independent, it's safe to say that there is no way you could have done what you did in the UK here in the US. Mm-hmm. Why is that the case? I want you to sort of break that down and how the UK has been able to sustain the independent role.
Well, in the first place, I believe that the FinCEN rule long ago was something that the corporations needed, because though they had 40%, technically, they didn't do anything. They had one show, I think, I can't remember, maybe it was that Sybil Shepherd one with Bruce Willis that they actually owned and that they actually produced. They didn't have the skill set. They were just distributors. So Marcy long ago empowered people to be indies. So there was Erin Spelly. She empowered those people. She empowered Susan to do Golden Girls. These were not production companies. So then conceptually production companies, indies became really popular because they did the work. They really did all the work. Everyone, my age anyway, will remember corporations didn't do the work. Les Moonves ran Warner's at the time, and he had 11 shows on and only one in the top 10. I had three shows on and they were 1, 2, and 3.
Wow.
And, you know, sure, for a long time. Because you're focusing on the one thing, which is the work, you know, sure. And as much as you admire corporations. Now in the UK, there was always a culture, because don't forget, they aren't money-making corporations. They're just you sign a check if you want to be part of the ecosystem that gets so much money, so much benefit for their money. I personally would pay for BBC just for Radio 4. You know, you get radio, you get TV, you get sports, you get everything from the BBC so it's government run, and people really, really feel strongly. It's the best brand. You know, people feel super strongly about it. Whereas, do you really care which corporation does well in the overnights? Mm-mm.
So what about this age that we're in now with global streaming services like Netflix, where Peaky Blinders plays in the US and so many other markets? Is the independent any more or less advantaged in this world where you're playing with companies that make the ABCs in the US from 20 years ago look like mosquitoes?
Yeah, I think everyone is struggling to figure out how to deal with them, and they're behemoths and they're going to give you money and you're grateful on the one hand. On the other hand, it's very difficult if you're a corporation like Disney's having a problem now. You know, everyone's having a problem. So it's difficult, no matter how you look at it, to interface with these behemoths. But I'm just so lucky. It's just astonishing. Can't even believe how lucky.
You do work with a distributor, I believe, Tiger Aspect.
No, Tiger Aspect is not a distributor. It's called Banijay, the company.
Okay.
And so they distribute the product. But what is distribution? Basically, it's calling up Netflix and saying, would you like this show? You know, this was back in 2012.
Okay. So in terms of this new world and the streaming giants that run it, there's been increasing talk or frustration with the so-called cost plus model, getting paid up front, not getting any back end. How does that sit with you?
Not well. It doesn't sit well with Jeff Sagansky. It doesn't sit well with Peter Chernin. It doesn't sit, those are kids that I grew up with. You know, it's not easy because you're not incentivized. But it is what you've got. And I really, truly believe that being an indie is the best thing you could possibly be right now. I think there's a lot of energy. And sure, there's trouble, but there's so much energy coming from the what remains of the independent sector everywhere. And obviously, if I live in Europe, so an hour and a half from now, I'm in Amsterdam, you know, and an hour and a half from now, you know, you're in Reno. But, you know, it's a larger, I mean, apart from Brexit, it's a larger community of a lot of independent, brilliant people. So back in the day, Roger Corman, you know, it's never going to end being the indie. So we'll face whatever problems we've got in terms of distribution, and we'll do it. If we have a hit, we're going to have a hit.
Well, to that point, I guess my question is, how do you know whether you have a hit in a world where these streaming services don't necessarily give you much, if any, relevant data to the performance of your show?
It's just initially, because this all happened to me at the time it was happening to everybody, my timing was great, you know, and lucky as ever. So how do I know? I think you're looking at ratings here initially, but then luckily social media happened at the exact same time when Peaky was beginning. So I mean, we have amazing social media stats. We have 6 million Instagram followers. We've got, and all over the world, I got the report from Parrot Analytics. It is a stunning example of how popular, how much we've affected people. And how did we know? We got so much feedback from so many important, especially artists, called us, talked to us from odd places, you know, really strange. The artists would do it for less money than they, it all came from the generosity and the spirit of the folks that we worked with and we're lucky to work with. All of our villains are unbelievable. They didn't have to, you know, do Peaky Blinders. How about the music itself, the essence of rock and roll, all those deals that we made, no one got paid what they should have gotten paid. It was for love. And it was, so that's the answer to the question. You do good work and a lot of people want to be associated with you.
We'll be back in just a minute with more with Karen Mandebach.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
We're back with Karen Mandelbach, who is talking to us about the sensation that she produced known as Peaky Blinders. Karen, I want to talk now about this, I hope you're not offended if I call it an aggressive brand extension strategy for Peaky. Mm-hmm. Walk us through what your strategy is, because it's quite interesting.
Well, if you were, not to compare myself in any way to George Lucas, but if you did a great, and family at the center of what we're talking about, if you did a great hit, you don't know the manifestations, you don't know that there'll be DVDs, you don't know that there'll be laser toys, you don't know, but you ask questions. So I just asked everybody, what do you think, because people here in England go to a bar mitzvah dressed up as a Peaky Blinder. There are weddings right around my neighborhood, all Peaky Blinder themed. Wow. They embody the feeling of the Peaky Blinders so deeply. The haircuts, I went to Paris the other day and some waiter said to me something and I just looked at him and I said, I bet you're a Peaky Blinder. And he said, yeah, I am. And he said, but if my father ever knew I was talking to you, and I said, tell me more. He said, my father and I don't speak except for we talk about Peaky Blinders. So the depth of the appreciation, I mean, the social media demands that we've been given by Parrot Analytics are off the charts. They feel it. So what does that mean? I don't know. It's a great adult, not child brand. So we aren't going to do toys or obviously razor blades. But there's a media, it could be animation. It could be virtual reality. I don't know. Right now we have immersive theater opening in Camden. I think it's going to be a big hit in July. You know what I mean by immersive theater? It's sort of like interactive.
Yeah, please explain a bit more what that is.
the improvisational acting community, of which I was a part long, long, long time ago, invites you to this. This is in Camden. It's a giant former horse stable. Grade 2 listed, so don't take it down. And you come and you give us your money, and then actors invite you in, and then you don't know what's happening to you, but you're improvising with actors, and they're going to take you through a Peaky Blinders experience. And more than that, you needn't know because we're not telling our secrets. But fans of the show will be. It's kind of like going to Disneyland and being a pirate.
Wow, I mean, but where does an idea like that even come from to do that?
The theater community. And, also, where does the idea we're doing the Ballet Rambert dance company is doing a Peaky Blinders dance. We can't call it ballet. It's a dance performance all over England and starting in Birmingham and then hopefully all over the world.
So that in that case, it doesn't sound like it. The execution on that particular IP, does that not originate with you? Do they come to you and you license and...
They come to us and we say it should go a little like this. And then we look at their work and we just thank them. There are so many talented people that want some kind of, don't forget, it's like a four quad thing. Everyone likes it. Men, women, young, old, everyone who's got Netflix basically and BBC iPlayer here. So it's an incredibly deep experience. They really feel in it. I don't know how to explain it. I really wish, because it's like magical thinking to a certain extent. I want to feel like they feel. They really feel it deeply. If you read, just the statistics on the data about how people are experiencing it, they love it. And it's because they want to embody the difficulty and the joy of trying to be aspirational in today's society.
So are all these extensions people coming in to you and saying, hey, we want to do X, or does it ever flow the other way where you guys say, hey, we have an idea for this, let's go find someone to execute?
It's mostly the former because it's really difficult to get your brand extended in any meaningful way. And so, yeah, we go to, well, obviously we do the movie and TV spinoffs, that's us, but it's that's what you'd expect. But the other stuff is so important because people really feel it and you've got to honor that. It's a two-way thing.
Now, virtual reality and Peaky Blinders, how do these two come together? I can't even imagine.
I don't know. We're just at the beginning stages. Who knows? Do you even understand it? I mean, you know, I talk to Matthew Ball, he speaks to me and I'm like, what is he saying? But I do vaguely understand the concept, and it's the universe you want to embody. You're playing a role, and it's, I'm not saying it's biblical, like, you know, the Magi, the Christmas pageant, but it has a deeper meaning to, well, everybody fits into the universe in a way. I know I'm Aunt Polly for sure.
So from a business model perspective, it doesn't sound as if all these extensions are sort of, you know, critical to making the best profit you can off the show. It almost sounds more like it's gravy, like it's happenstance. Is that fair to say?
I don't know. Again, ask George Lucas. It worked out for him. But in the, because, you know, he borrowed money from his friend, Francis Coppola, in order to do movie two. So I don't know how it's going to turn out. We all are in uncharted waters, aren't we? All of us.
Well, let me put it this way. It's not as if when Peaky Blinders first started, you said, okay, so this is something that just sort of, it happened and it's like, okay,
the
let's take
changing.
Advantage.
You know, we're just responding to whatever's happening on Earth right now. We just are very lucky that I own the IP.
And there's more. There's jewelry, clothing, themed barbershops and pubs. Well, now the Bushmills one is interesting because there was some legal action around that. You know, you had other beverage producers that went of their own accord to make Peaky
Blinders. Very naughty.
Well, were they naughty? I want you to walk through the legal issues here, because I think to them, they didn't feel as if, because Peaky Blinders is sort of a piece of UK history, that they felt they needed to even get your permission to do that. And I gather you disagree.
Yeah, we did and we won. But I don't know the legal technicalities. There's everywhere, if you walk around in London, there's a place called Perky Blenders, you know, the coffee place. So it's being usurped in every possible way. The specifics of the Bushmills things, I don't know. All I know is you can get some Irish whiskey because that's what Tommy Shelby drank.
Okay. Let's put it this way. Do you have people, accountants whispering in your ear that, you know, if all these brand extensions go well, this could be, you know, like the syndication money train of old, or hey, this is just a little incremental profits and enjoy it. Like,
gosh, I wish I knew. Okay. We feel so passionately about honoring Steve's vision. It really is an important thing. And, you know, we get a call at the very beginning. We got a call from Snoop Dogg who said he just really responded to it. Like, really? Why? You know, then you start to understand it does have meaning to everybody who feels that they're, or LeBron. You know, there's an odd kind of, it's the number one show in Brazil. You know,
really?
Yeah. So you get a sense of how meaningful it is to people, and you honor that. And whether or not it's remunerative, to be honest, never happened to me before. I have no idea.
Now, I'm surprised that whether it's Netflix or BBC, that they're not trying to sort of Dick Wolf this concept and do, you know, Peaky 2 and Peaky Los Angeles, or, I mean, is there any of that brewing?
No.
Okay, but why not?
You know what, dude? I think it's because the truth of it comes from people like us who've done the work, and they're just looking at it like a corporate decision. You know, we're very interested in maximizing every bit of profit, obviously, but we have to do it because we feel it. We have to do it because it's the right thing and the right time and the right place and the right era and the right. Is it Boston, or if we did it in America? Would it be, I don't know, where are the gypsies? And what's in other words, the creative leads the business.
Okay. But, you know, when you mentioned something like it's number one in Brazil, could we see, you know, I'm sure some of your hit shows from back in the day have been recreated in a, you know, localized kind of way.
No, they haven't. Really,
they haven't. Okay. But you know what I mean. Other sitcoms certainly have. Could we see a, you know, I don't know, Brazilian, but Portuguese Peaky Blinders?
I mean, I could give them the rights. Yes, I could. I know Turkey, as a matter of fact, had asked for the rights at one point. But I would have to also work with the suppliers myself, too, because we have to honor the essence of the brand. It's very difficult. You know, comedy doesn't travel. I'm sure you know that. Mm-hmm. What they laugh at in Spain, they don't laugh in Italy. But that's why comedy, it's a shame because everybody's trying to cost cut, and comedy would have been a good way to cost cut, you know, because it doesn't cost that much. But to make sure you've got the essence of Peaky in the language, whatever it's going to be, and in the cultural referencing is really important, because don't forget, it was also in the context was very important, Peaky, between the wars.
Sure. Now, you guys are going to be doing a movie, right?
Yeah, we're in negotiations, yeah.
Okay, so again, you're this independent, and you've explained how that's worked in the TV world. Is it a different set of challenges in the film world?
It's pretty much the same. It's pretty much the same. It's a different set of rights and a different set of protections. And it's all very much about, Netflix's business model. So in the case of negotiating with Netflix, so it's an incredibly challenging time. But so what? You know, it's a lot of fun. And since I'm an independent, it's just another challenge. And I really do like the buying community too. I think there's some really good operators in there. So I genuinely feel like optimistic about the whole thing.
Well, I'm curious about your optimism in a world where, you know, the global economy is starting to look pretty dim, and we could see content spending that is obviously astronomical right now start to pull back. Does any of that discourage you?
It does, but where I am, to a certain extent, you know, they still have tax credits. So whatever I spend, I get 20% back. There are ways around that where you don't get hurt if you're an indie. You don't make as much money, but you don't get hurt. Whereas in a corporation, the whole thing, I mean, you know, Disney hasn't even announced its international strategy since they decided to do streaming. No, they're far more confused than I am. I have a proposition. Do you want it? How much do you want to pay for it? Okay. And, you know, Peaky was done pretty well in terms of the way we spent. I'm extremely proud of our production. Extremely. We didn't spend the kind of money anywhere near the kind of money that you think we did, considering its cinematic value. Like I said, we got a lot of and love for every one of our directors, love, and every one of our actors, love. So you can dine out a lot on, if you have the right kind of product, you want cultural, it doesn't have to cost that much. You just want cultural impact.
So we're talking at a time where Peaky is at its peak. And so I'm curious what that means for you in terms of, you know, do you have other shows set up out there that maybe have nothing to do with Peaky? Or what's coming next for you?
Sure, we've got a ton of things in the pipeline. And it's an incredibly, like I said, to me, it's a great time to be an indie. You can call your own shots. And I feel like we don't need to prove anything. We're great at producing. That's what we do. That's all we do. I don't have another job. I'm not an actor. You know, I don't have another job. I'm not a director. I'm a long-term producer, and I know what it means. And I so respect people in the community, whether they're in the movie business or the television business, that have taken the road I've taken, because it's pretty nutty. It's like alchemy. It's weird.
But when you say it's a great time to be an indie, I would imagine some people would really scratch their heads and say, in this consolidated world, how could that be true?
Because you need a hit.
And hits are going to come not just from within walled gardens of corporate giants.
Okay. Correct. You got to, you know, we developed to a certain extent. You got to get lucky. Like I said, you got to know it when you see it. But nobody is throwing anything up against a wall and hoping that it sticks. You know, everything that we do is really thought out with the buyer in mind.
Okay. And so speaking of buyers, do you have, you have different irons in the fire now, but is there any one project you could talk about that's farthest along in development? That's like,
I never talk about development. Never.
Really?
Ever. I've never talked about it. It's not on any, because it's sort of bad luck, really. I think I just don't like talking about it. What's the point? Then you have to list the 20 things you didn't succeed in. So
I can respect that. But you are saying you're doing well. There's plenty of other things that you're developing. You're just not talking about it.
Okay. Correct.
And I'm curious, do you at this point, given Peaky on your resume and so much more, you know, why not? Do you have the ability to command a Shonda Rhimes, Ryan Murphy type deal at a streamer? Why not do one of those?
I suppose I could, but that's not fun. You know, I'm only as good, you know, Scott Galloway says, you know, success is in the agency of others. I'm only as good as the people that I work with. I'm here in the country, you know, having every day I talk to a writer. That's all I do pretty much is writer. So I'm good at that. I'm really good at that. So I know what I'm good at, and I don't want to have to put myself in any other position where someone else tells me that they want it or they don't want it. It's not fun. This is fun. Okay. You know, really fun, especially since I started in the theater. That's why I'm here, is I have a theater background in England. And it's an incredibly exciting time to be someone who's, you know, able to do what she wants.
Well, you know, the Shonda Rhimes way is one type of payday. Another thing that we're seeing right now is production companies attracting all sorts of investment. You know, the private equity world rolls up. Is that a place we could see you strike rich?
I as long as I'm extant, as long as there's a version of CMP in there that is allowed to operate, wouldn't that be wonderful? That's what all independents hope for, obviously.
So you're actively out there trying to make that kind of deal?
No, but I'm happy if my phone rang, I'd be really happy to answer it.
Well, I think as long as you continue to crank out hits like Peaky, the phone will ringing.
Thank you.
Karen, thank you so much for taking the time out today to talk to me.
It's my pleasure. Come and visit.
Will do. Thanks.
Okay, ciao. Bye.
This has been another episode of Strictly Business. Tune in next week for another helping of scintillating conversation with media movers and shakers. And please make sure you subscribe to the podcast to hear future episodes. Also, leave a review in Apple Podcasts and let us know how we're doing.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.